Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And the driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Comeback pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Now, Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Hey, it's Friday night here on KMOX. Obviously, we're going to be very busy as we wrap up this week and get you ready for the weekend. We've got Game 6 tonight in the American League Championship Series. Game 6 tomorrow night in the NLCS after the Dodgers win last night. Maybe a Game 7 in this ALCS tomorrow. Depends on whether or not the Red Sox can win this game down in Houston. If they win tonight, obviously there will be a Game 7 tomorrow, and the same will hold true for the Braves and the Dodgers in Atlanta tomorrow night. Dodgers would need to win again to force a Game 7 on Sunday. So we got great playoff action this weekend. We got a good college football schedule, although no Mizzou this weekend. This is an off week, so and not really something I'm building my Saturdays around at this point, but I do think that there's at least some interest here moving forward into as to what we can expect from them the rest of the season. And we'll talk more about that when they get back into action. We've got the Blues opening at home tomorrow night. Very, very excited about just the way this is going so far for the Blues. I love the start to the season. Again, I'm not alleging that everything's perfect. I'm not saying that every team you've played has been at full strength, because they haven't been. But, the last game and a half or so, the Blues haven't been at full strength either, and they won't be at full strength tomorrow night either. So I don't think we need to go too far in trying to parse what these three games mean. What they really mean is 6 points. And those 6 points will still be 6 points in the Blues' favor at the end of the regular season. So that and, the combination of that and seeing some of the things that we hoped to see with regard to the depth that this team has, in particular up front, is great. I think this is going to be a fun season. I don't expect them to finish at the top of the Western Conference this year. And by that, I mean the very top. I don't think they're going to go out there and, win the President's Trophy or anything like that. Maybe they will. I wouldn't rule it out, because when you have depth, you have a chance to overcome the natural course of things. I mean, during the course of a year, you're going to have injuries. You're going to have, nagging problems, whatever. You're going to have guys in slumps. And I think they have the depth to be able to overcome that and be one of the better teams in the league throughout the course of the regular season. But so far, so good as far as the start is concerned. You're getting a lot of offense across the board. I mean, 15 goals in three games is more than good. And I mentioned this last night. I'll repeat it now in case you weren't listening. They could have easily had 5 goals, 6 goals against Vegas if not for Robin Leonard. He was really good. He made some big saves, in particular early in that game. So while it was, quote unquote, only 3 goals, they could have scored at least 2 more. And, that's the kind of pressure that they generated. But obviously, Leonard played extremely well. So we've got a fun hockey team to talk about. We have the home opener tomorrow night, and obviously playing again against the same team, the Kings, on Monday night at Enterprise Center. We've got a big NFL weekend. We're going to talk a lot of NFL tonight, but it's not going to be the kind that anybody at the NFL is going to want to hear about. Coming up an hour from now, we're going to bring in Daniel Wallach. He is a sports legal analyst. He's got a podcast that's kind of about that. We'll tell you a bit about the podcast later, but I had a chance to catch up with him earlier today and just had him give me the run through on the Rams. I'm sorry, the St. Louis lawsuit involving the Rams and Kroenke and Roger Goodell and Jerry Jones and the NFL as a whole. So it kind of, we'll take a look at it from the 10,000 foot view, like where are things at the moment, whether or not there's going to be more attention drawn towards this as it gets closer to trial time. One of my big complaints, and I'm sure a lot of you listening have shared this complaint, but one of my big complaints has been, the big sports media outlets pretty much just ignoring this. I mean, you haven't seen ESPN cover it at all. And I think it's interesting that, you know, when you get closer to the trial time, I'm interested to see if everybody else covers it because of the urgency of it. I think people have maybe not gotten that much into it. I mean, by people, I mean those other outlets haven't gotten into it in large part because it all felt like it was so far down the road. And, you know, they've done a lot of similar things when it comes to, you know, the concussion lawsuits or the lawsuit recently that had to do with race norming when it came to trying to decide what the benefits of retired players should be. Like, they've had their share. The NFL's had their share of time with these legal issues, and they don't always get a lot of attention until you get closer to some kind of resolution. I'll be interested to see, though, how the football world deals with this if everything goes as it seems like it's going to now and the trial starts in January and continues, well, right up towards the Super Bowl. Could make for an interesting State of the League address if anybody's going to ask about it, which is, you know, again, a bigger question there. But we're going to talk to Daniel Wallach next hour and get the latest. You know, what did it mean that the NFL, you know, was successful in getting Bob Blitz taken off the case? What did all of that mean? Where is it headed? You know, what's the legal precedent or what's the background on this? We're going to get into all of that with Daniel Wallach in the next hour. So I got a lot of things I want to get into. I got some baseball for you as well. In addition, I'm going to talk Cardinals here in a few minutes. I want to talk about managerial candidates for just a little bit. And I also want to talk a bit about Congress getting involved with the NFL now. And they're getting involved, not on the whole move of a franchise to L.A. And again, it's not so much about the move. I keep, you know, I have this conversation with people in L.A. once in a while. Like, listen, it's not just about the move itself. It's about how the thing came down and whether or not there was deception, whether or not, you know, the misleading tactics that Kroenke and the Rams and the NFL engaged in wound up costing the city money, both in the short and in the long term. And, you know, if you're going to negotiate, if you're going to do these things straight up and say, yeah, we want to move, here's why, and you go through all that, great. But, you know, they didn't do that. They tiptoed around it. They pretended like they were going through the process for keeping the team here, but never had any intention to do that based on their own words. So you got that part of it. And, you know, most people in D.C. really haven't picked up on this, but they have picked up on the Washington football team investigation. And so far, right, the only real consequences for anybody in any of that have been, the only guy that really got hit with this was John Gruden. And that seems odd if you have 650,000 emails that have been examined as a part of this and that only one person who wasn't even employed by the team happened to be someone that said a few terrible things that got him in trouble and got him, you know, run out of the league, for lack of a better way of putting it. But now you've got members of the House of Representatives asking questions about this. We've had the NFL Players Association say that, hey, look, man, you got to release all these emails. You know, people have a right to know what your investigation found. Now, you guys have to, we're all smart enough to understand how this works. One of the reasons why the results of the Washington football team investigation have stayed quiet is because it involved an owner, Daniel Snyder. And the owner, he is one of 32 bosses of Roger Goodell and of the NFL. So, you know, I think what the owners are afraid of, all of them, are the precedent here, right? So they may not like Daniel Snyder. They may think he's a terrible dude. They might, you know, love to run him out of their club. I don't know. But I know this. They don't want to establish the precedent of their information getting out. Right? They want to be able to have their own investigations and keep all that stuff in-house as they've done for so many years. They don't want to lose control of that. They don't want people seeing behind the curtain. It's the same reason why they're so worried about the trial here with the city and county of St. Louis. They don't want their financial information out there. They don't want people to know exactly how much money they're making. They don't want people to take a look at it and say, wonder how they get to these numbers. And boy, are they doing some cooking of the books or whatever. They don't want any of that stuff out there. And they certainly don't want, you know, people to have to testify and answer difficult questions. But I'm going to ask a question now, and I'm going to get to this a little bit later on. You know, I was not a big fan of Congress getting involved with the whole steroid scandal in Major League Baseball. My opinion at the time when the subject first came up was, okay, you guys all have something more important to do than this. There should be something more important for everybody that is a member of the federal government, right? There should be something more important that needs your attention than whether or not baseball players are using steroids. But they acted. Even though I didn't like the idea, they acted, and it led to change. Will they take that same kind of action with the NFL and the Washington football team investigation? We'll get to that coming up a little bit later on. Up next, though, I want to talk Cardinals baseball. I want to talk about managerial candidates, and we've talked about the names before. And every time you see the name Carlos Beltran, you get a mixed reaction. You get people like, he's a cheater. Nope. He's a cheater. Nope. And essentially, I want to answer the question next up, why not Carlos Beltran? We'll get into all the details on that in a minute here on KMOX.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, so let's get to some Cardinals talk here, and we'll obviously have a lot more in the coming weeks on the managerial search, the direction it's going to eventually take when we start hearing about names, or when we just get a hire, whether it's, you know, something that gets, you know, reported on or gets teased out, we'll see. But for now, what we know is that they're doing a search, and it sounds like the plan is it's going to be keep it close to the family. That's just how it seems. And they didn't. Nobody has said that. Nobody with the team has said that. Nobody has gone, yeah, we're definitely going with a member of the family, if you will. But that has been heavily speculated, both in St. Louis and even outside. You know, everybody understands that Stubby Clapp and Ollie Marmol are both legitimate candidates here. And, you know, when you listen to the way that the philosophical differences were described by the team, by John Mozeliak and Bill DeWitt Jr., it certainly sounds like the number one prerequisite for getting into this job, well, maybe not number one. I mean, you got to be competent first and foremost. But one of the top prerequisites will be a willingness to buy in to the direction being set by the front office. And, you know, I will say this. I mean, before I get into the Carlos Beltran thing, there are a few things about sports fans in 2021 that I really don't understand, because to me, they don't make any logical sense. Like, logically speaking, I don't understand why people still push back against what everybody's like, analytics this. And everybody's always mad, like, oh, the nerds are running the game. I mean, you know, like, what are you talking about? Bosses have always made the decisions. You know, the owner is the boss. The owner dictates the direction of a franchise or your business. And if you're the owner, you dictate that. So, yeah, you think maybe that bosses want people underneath them in the food chain or in the chain of command that are going to follow and live up to your vision? I mean, of course they do. Have you not been paying attention to sports and in particular Major League Baseball for the last 10 or 15 years? And I don't understand why we assume that it was better when it was all the manager making the decision. They trusted their gut. Why? Why is that better? I don't understand. I don't understand why information that is broken down and used to create more detailed game plans and used to help understand the best way to beat your opponent, I don't understand why that's viewed as a bad thing. I really don't. Whenever you do anything of importance, investing your money, whatever, you're always going to be looking at the big picture. You're going to want as much information as you can. Again, I've said this before, you don't want your money manager just out there playing the market based on his gut feeling on a day-to-day basis. You want him to be following what his analytics tell him, what his models tell him, what the past teaches us about the future, what the trends are. You know, I mean, you don't want that person just be like, well, I'm feeling lucky today. Let's try to make this guy some extra money. Like, you don't want that. So why would you want that with your baseball team? But clearly, you want a connection. You want the field office and the field staff to be on the same page as the front office. That's how things work the best. That's how almost every company is structured. You always want as much of that synergy as you can get. Now, moving on to the next question in this. You know, I don't think there's been a whole lot of opposition to, at least on a principled baseball level, to guys like Ali Marmol and Stubby Clapp. I think we can all understand the draw there. They're both experienced as managers in the minor leagues. They're liked in the clubhouse. They know the team. They know exactly what's expected. If either one of them ends up with this job, you can very well bet that they will have accepted the direction that the front office wants the organization to go and all that. Now, the only knock is, oh, yeah, Mo just wants a yes man. Yeah, you know, I know a whole lot of bosses that want people that are going to do things that fly in the face of the organization or the business's plan, right? I mean, what team doesn't want that, especially in 2021? Of course, it's not even being a puppet. It's called being an employee. Your boss sets the standard for what you are expected to do, and you got to live up to that standard. I mean, you have a job, I have a job. I mean, my boss has expectations for me. And if I don't live up to those expectations, guess what? Someone else will be sitting in this seat. So is it that my boss wants a puppet? No. It's that the boss has a vision. They have an idea. And by the way, they answer to their own bosses. And in this case, obviously, Mo is answering to Bill DeWitt Jr. But the only knock I've heard on either of them is, oh, yeah, sure, just another guy that's going to do whatever the front office says. I mean, yeah, of course, because you don't do what your bosses say. But then, of course, you've got some of the candidates from outside. And, you know, we're looking at the ones, I think, trying to be somewhat logical, looking at the candidates that, again, fit this description of being willing to work with a staff that is potentially largely already in place to fit into the vision that the front office has. And, you know, we've used names that are familiar, right? Because part of this job is going to be connecting with the dugout, with the players, because the players liked Mike Shildt a lot. So certainly you're going to want somebody in that manager's seat this year and moving forward that's going to have that same kind of relationship, that same kind of closeness, that same kind of trust from the players on the major league roster, especially the veterans. And that's going to be especially important in 2022 because it's going to be a big year. This is an important year considering, you know, contracts that'll be ending and money that is now available that wasn't before and all of that. It's an important year. And you do look, I mean, you're still in this position where, yeah, Nolan Arenado has committed to staying for 2022, but he hasn't committed beyond that. Even though he has said he'd like to be here for a long time, I think some of that, some of it's going to be about how the organization's being run. How are they performing? How is the manager, how's the relationship there? I mean, those things all are going to matter. So it's a big hire. So we've heard the names like Skip Schumacher, and I don't know that there's a knock on him. Again, the only one would be is he hasn't managed in the big leagues before. But we've seen plenty of cases where that hasn't mattered. Some cases it has. And then, of course, Carlos Beltran's name has come up. Had played for the Cardinals, knows some of the veteran players with the Cardinals, in particular Yadier Molina, but also obviously Adam Wainwright. You know, this is a guy that is very well respected in the game, Carlos Beltran. He was going to be the manager of the Mets until the Astros cheating scandal popped up and his name became a big part of it. But here's the thing, and I want to focus on Beltran for a minute. Why not Carlos Beltran if we're talking about this? Like, if you're one of the people that's like, we don't want a cheater. Well, you had Mark McGwire as hitting coach. And yeah, trash can banging is cheating. So is steroid use. So is, you know, using an artificial substance to improve your numbers. Because when you improve your numbers, you're taking away from someone else's numbers. Right? So, I mean, again, that's by every definition cheating. Wasn't necessarily against the rules. Baseball didn't have those rules in those times. But I think we could say in the spirit of the rules and in the spirit of competition, that's cheating. You're breaking the law as a means to get an advantage. That's what steroid use was. And once Mark McGwire got hired and after he did the press conferences and the interviews where he talked a bit about his mistakes and apologized for it and talked about how he realizes it was stupid, it was terrible. Once he got past that, well, nobody cared anymore about that other stuff. He was good at his job. And when we look at it, you know, with the Carlos Beltran case, we don't have evidence of Carlos Beltran doing this kind of stuff for 15 years or 5 years or anything. You have evidence of it in one season, which doesn't get him off the hook. He still suffered a punishment. I mean, he ended up losing his job with the Mets because of all that. But, I mean, I'd submit this to you. A.J. Hinch is managing again. He's managing Detroit. Alex Cora is managing tonight. He's got the Red Sox in Game 6 of the ALCS. These guys were every bit as much a part of that scandal as Beltran was. So if they're back, why not Beltran? If he was well-respected and viewed as a future manager and viewed as a quality managerial candidate 2 years ago, why wouldn't he be now based on the fact that these other guys are back? Not to mention the fact that the rest of that roster that's still active with the Astros is also in this Game 6 tonight. I mean, Altuve's still there. You know, there's a group, you know, Carlos Correa is still there. They were all involved in that, but yet they're still playing. They're still going. I think Carlos Beltran has a really good chance at getting a managerial job. Maybe the Mets hire him as they had planned on before. But either way, that whole cheating thing shouldn't be held against Beltran at this point when it comes to getting another managerial job. Not when the other people involved are already back in the game. And by the way, who knows if Jeff Luhnow gets back in? You know, I mean, could the Mets turn to him to reorganize their front office and to fix things up? He did a pretty damn good job of that in Houston. Yeah, he got caught up in all this. And, you know, he might have hurt himself more by what he said after the fact as opposed to what his actual role was in all of that. But he's eligible to be hired. And if anybody wants him, they can bring him in. So I would say again, why not Carlos Beltran? Again, the argument would be, well, he hasn't managed at any level. I know, that's a pretty fair argument, too. But let's also be honest. Managing in the minor leagues is not the same thing as managing in the big leagues. So looking forward to seeing what other names might come out, whether they do or not. I mean, heck, the team could move quickly and, you know, at some point here soon, decide that one of the in-house guys is the way they want to go. They do like promoting from within. They like the incentive that it provides for other people in the organization to be like, okay, there can be a reward for doing my job well. I really want to do my job well. We'll get more into baseball coming up, obviously, next week. Up next, I want to start shifting gears a little bit. Now, this is not going to be about the lawsuit involving St. Louis and the Rams and Kroenke and all that, but I do want to talk about the way the NFL does its business and whether or not, when it comes to this investigation of the Washington football team, whether or not higher authorities should even get involved. Talk a bit about that next up here on KMOX. All right, let's talk a bit about the National Football League for a moment. And, you know, this actually, the issue that I want to get into here is probably a little bit bigger than just the National Football League, but it's one that came up when Congress had hearings on steroid use in baseball. And, you know, at the time, I thought it was, look, it was a publicity stunt. It was an easy way for both Republicans and Democrats to look good because everybody hates steroids, right? So you had an easy common enemy. Nobody had to fight each other on political terms. You could just go up there and yell at a few millionaire athletes, which is what a lot of us like to do anyway, and make a bunch of noise, you know, like Brick Tamlin, loud noises! That was everybody in those hearings on the Congress side, because it was really easy, right? Again, nobody likes steroid use in sports, so you have a really easy target. And that was kind of my take on the time. I said, all right, this is just a dog and pony show. This is just a, hey, look at us. We're standing up for truth, justice, and the American way. And in the end, even though I still hold that opinion that there were many more important things that they should have been spending their time on rather than that, it did end up pushing Major League Baseball into a better place. It did light a fire under the asses of the union to say, okay, we do need to accept steroid testing. And it did that thing. It did something that probably would not have happened outside of that intervention. Might the same thing be true about the National Football League? Because I saw this story earlier today, and there are people in D.C. In the House of Representatives that sent a letter to the NFL, and they want more information about the investigation into the Washington football team. And maybe their interest will stop at this. And, you know, the NFL is basically going to tell you, go jump off a bridge. They're not going to be immediately forthcoming and say, oh, sure, here's all of the stuff you want. They're going to ignore you for the most part until you make them pay attention to you. So is this something that should get further attention? Now, again, I still have that same gut reaction that, okay, you know, there's a lot more important stuff you could be spending your time on here. But the more I think about how the NFL handled the whole St. Louis thing and the move to LA and how they did everything, you know, below board, how everything was done dirty, the more I wonder if it does require, the league does require, not just for these emails with the Washington football team, but with how they conduct their league business. Maybe they do need that same kick in the ass that Major League Baseball and the Players Association needed. Maybe they do need that. Now, here's the problem. I should have brought this up with Hancock and Kelly earlier. They know the politics side of this way better than me. But there is one kind of problem here, right? Like, as I said, yelling at baseball players over using steroids is a pretty simple thing to do, right? Everybody hates steroids. Everybody watching loved seeing all of these baseball players squirm in front of Congress on TV. And I'm not here to talk about the past and, you know, Rafael Palmeiro pounding the table. I've never taken steroids. And turns out you tested positive later on, right? People like that. But those people, those players, while they're rich and they have big contracts, they're not billionaires. They don't own teams. And when you're at the level of wealth of NFL owners, people who are successful in all kinds of industries that are well beyond the NFL, right? I mean, these people almost all, there's a few exceptions, but most of the owners in the NFL made their money in some other industry and then bought an NFL team. These are pretty powerful people. And, you know, if you're in the House of Representatives, you're in Congress, whatever, if you want to haul their butts in front of you and make them angry, they can do things like go up, support your primary opponent in 2 years or 4 years. You know, you're not just dealing with millionaire players who aren't really big political players as a general rule versus billionaires who are. I mean, they get all of that stuff. I'm sure most of them have donations going left and right because whoever wins, they want to have relationships. That's the nice way to put it, relationships. This is why I'm always skeptical when it gets to this kind of level. Like, I don't see any chance that anybody in D.C. is going to be calling hearings to say to go over the NFL with how they conduct investigations, with how they conducted themselves in moving franchises over the years, and whether or not there was consistency, and whether or not there's damage done. They don't, you know, they're not going to hold it up to the NFL and say, "Yeah, stop blackmailing your hometown teams for more money for stadiums, right? Stop holding the threat of a move over these other cities." I don't have any belief that it's going to happen. But even counter to my instinct, which is to say, hey, Congress, pay attention to things that matter more than sports. Maybe that's the only group of people that could give the NFL that kick in the butt that they'd absolutely need. Because they're very good at managing things, even though, you know, they lose in court or they settle out of court for certain things. They don't always win in the court of public opinion. But in the end, they typically seem to get what they want. And they're able to keep these types of investigations in-house. I mean, they did the whole Spygate thing, and then they destroyed all the evidence. Nobody gets to see it. Why would you do that? Well, I mean, if you're at all a suspicious person like I am, like, well, there must be something in there they don't want the public to see. Otherwise, you just say, here it is, because then you'd win points. Now, I will say, even if there isn't anything terrible in these other emails in the Washington football team's investigation, maybe they don't want to set the precedent of putting stuff out there just in case there's a time when whatever would be revealed would be terrible and cause problems for the league or cause problems for a team owner. I don't know. But this is a lot about, you know, right now, John Gruden's emails, and he got fired for it. Well, he stepped down, but he was going to be fired if he didn't step down. And I'm sure he got paid a certain amount of money to agree to step down. But that's not to me that, even though that's like, if that kind of communication comes to light and you find NFL executives, head coaches, broadcasting people, whatever, if you find people using those kinds of that kind of language, and yeah, you know what? If it comes out, they should be punished. But that's not really a league issue, is it? Like a league-wide issue. It's not something that, it's not like, you know, the way that they've handled settlements with retired players or the way they've handled concussion studies or the way that they've dealt with like a move, like the move from St. Louis to Los Angeles. So I don't know if it has that same kind of weight because we don't know. It's about one team right now. And yeah, we would all, I think we would all agree, I hope we would all agree that we would like everybody to face consequences for actions that are below board, right? You're not going to tell me that in those 650,000 emails and with all the things that were alleged about the Washington football team, that John Gruden's emails are the only thing that would make anybody look bad or cost anybody their jobs. You're just not going to convince me of that. And I don't think any of you think that's the case either. The question is, how far should people in authority go to push that? All right, stick around. We're going to start setting the table for next hour in a couple of minutes. We're going to be talking about the St. Louis lawsuit against the NFL, Stan Kroenke, the Rams, the whole deal. We'll have sports legal analyst Daniel Wallach at 7:15. Very much looking forward to that conversation. We'll start setting the table on that next up here on KMOX. So next hour, we're going to be getting some really, I think, in-depth information when it comes to the St. Louis lawsuit against the NFL and Stan Kroenke and, of course, the other owners that are attached to that as well. I'm going to start referring to that simply as the STL versus NFL thing because it's just, I got to say it faster. It's just too much. Oh, my God. List all the parts to that. But we'll be talking about that. I could just say the lawsuit. I think everybody in St. Louis would know what I'm talking about. But we're going to get into that more in the next hour. Daniel Wallach is going to join me at 7:15. He is a sports legal analyst, and we're just going to have him kind of, we'll go like 10,000 foot view, you know, what the big picture is, you know, and then we're going to kind of hone down on, you know, what does it mean? Let's talk about the settlement, that idea of an expansion team, you know, get his thoughts on the recent news this week of Bob Blitz being moved off, based on after a motion filed by the NFL and see where that what that means too. Is that automatically a bad thing? Is there a way that could be a good thing for St. Louis? Depending on how the whole thing plays out, we're going to get all the good legal info from Daniel Wallach coming up at 7:15. Now, we all know how this went down, right? All of us here have a much better idea than anybody does outside because we listened to the things that, you know, Stan Kroenke said on the very rare occasions that he actually said anything. We listened to Kevin Demoff in particular blow smoke up our rear ends for a long time. And, you know, most of that was about their messaging not really meeting up with reality. And, you know, I've had people outside of St. Louis ask, well, why is this even a thing? Like, you know, weren't there empty seats at the stadium? Weren't people kind of pulling away from it? I'm like, you know what? Not really. Not until everybody knew they were leaving, but it was a neglected marketplace. And I don't know if you guys remember the town hall, the public town hall meeting that was held, and, you know, members of the public could speak. And my buddy Randy Carricker went up there and he just nailed it. Just went through all of the ways that Stan Kroenke and the Rams front office essentially crapped on Rams fans for years, ignored Rams fans, didn't engage. I mean, Kroenke was very, very rarely, if ever, involved or at games or, you know, doing anything. And, you know, and Randy, in a really smart way, made the point that, you know, look around, man. You look at the owners in this city. Look at how Bill DeWitt Jr. is, does interviews, mingles with fans, does Q&As with them at the ballpark with season ticket holders. He's accessible. Tom Stillman, I mean, you can go talk to Tom Stillman half the time at practice. You know, he go up there and he'll sit and watch practice, and he's at games, and he's, again, interactive, and he does interviews. Like, these are people that show that they have a connection with the community, and that's their intent. And as we look back on it now, you can very well see what the intentions were of Stan Kroenke. He wasn't engaging in any of that because he already had L.A. in his mind. And what better way to facilitate that than to basically allow the fan base to go cold on you? You know, just don't engage them. Don't encourage them. Don't make things better for them. Just let it all slowly deteriorate. And then when the time comes, you can kind of create what you need to move the team. Well, see, look, the city doesn't support the team. Like, you know what? They did. When the product was halfway decent. And I'll be honest with you, man, I was there. I was at the Jones Dome a lot on Sundays when the team was just god-awful. And there were way more people there than should have been there based on the quality of the product. And I'll tell you this, you look around the NFL, man, we've seen a lot of empty seats in a lot of places where the teams are bad, especially where the teams have been bad for a long period of time. And, of course, we all know that Rams record over a 10, 15-year window before they moved. We all know it was awful. So, yeah, I mean, when you're running a business, it does help to give your customer a good product. It's not enough to just say, hey, we got NFL uniforms. You should be like, and that's the problem, is that this was sabotaged. The whole thing was sabotaged from early on once Kroenke took over controlling interest of the team. I mean, we never got any indication. And I'll tell this story again after the top of the hour news. But, you know, when all of that went down and Kroenke bought the team and they brought in Jeff Fisher, when all that stuff started happening and, you know, Kroenke would never say anything when he was pressed on it a couple times about wanting to stay in St. Louis. I mean, even at that time, this was when I was here at KMOX my first time through. Went on a rant here on Sports Open Line. Look, man. Owner of the Rams doesn't care about you. Stan Kroenke does not care about you. He is not in any way, shape, or form attached to St. Louis, and we should all be aware of that. And one of his dudes called, like, you're wrong about Stan. No, we were right about Stan. We'll talk about that, and we'll hear more about the lawsuit coming up next hour here on KMOX.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.